Hi, it's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm a top-rated life coach, an international best-selling author, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm on a mission to help you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. The experts on this show will help you achieve work-life balance so that you can experience abundance in seven pillars of life: spirituality, health, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. When you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's go. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman. We are helping you go from overworked and burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a really amazing topic. It's something that is so close to my heart. It is all about vision boards. And we have a very special guest, Debbie Sluice, to talk about her special method on how to create vision boards that actually work. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
So great to have you. Let me tell my audience a little bit about your amazing background. So Debbie specializes in helping people expand their brain's potential to see what's possible for them using vision boards. Debbie has studied personal development for over 30 years. She has guided over 1,000 clients to identify and declare their vision, both online and in person, in her Dare to Declare studio. In addition to being featured in many podcasts, Debbie has shared stages with such great thought leaders and authors as Gabrielle Bernstein and Jack Canfield, the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Wow, this is such an amazing background. So tell us your story. How did you get from what you were doing to being a vision board expert?
Thanks. Yeah, so it's really, I would say the key and the secret, I'll give that right up front, is about listening to your intuition. And I'm sure you speak about that all the time, is that inner knowing. And I actually like to think of it less like your gut response, which sometimes is where fear lies, but more about that full body tingle where it feels like champagne bubbles in your body and you just feel like, I need to do this. But there was just a lot of nudges and different messages that were coming to me. And so my background is in early years. I was a childcare director of a multi-site, not-for-profit organization. I had about 75 employees. I did that for about 30 years. As I said, I'm a mom of four. And so I felt like what my employees were really needing was personal development. But what I was paid to deliver was professional development, which was great as well in terms of how to care for children and what they need with curriculum. But really, it was the educator herself that, you know, like all of us as women, just having that, understanding how important being self-aware and your self-image and confidence and speaking your truth and all of that. But that wasn't part of my job. So I felt this tension that I knew that I wanted to empower women, but I didn't have the platform. And so I started my company. The idea came to me about 6 years ago, and it came with the idea of visioning and vision boards, because I was doing some research online and I came across, as you heard in my bio, Jack Canfield. So he co-wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, but he's most known in the self-development world around his Success Principles book. And, you know, there's numerous YouTube videos. And so he's the original godfather of vision boards. Yeah. So I really just hibernated and researched as much as I could. But I realized that there wasn't really that much specifically around how to offer vision boards that work. People were doing them, but nobody really understood and connected them and aligned it to what we know with mindset and coaching. There was like mindset and coaching, and then vision boards was almost seen as, well, we know they work, it's fun, but a lot of people are doing them like very Pinterest or like a party trick. But right, people knew that they worked. Yeah. So that's kind of how I got started in it, was that I felt like I was meant for something bigger. And I started to do the research, And I created, like it said in my bio, a studio, which I have a specific studio that's built specifically to offer vision boards. So the tables are really large. I have hundreds and hundreds of magazines. I have a big screen TV. It's very like Kate Spade inspired. Like it's just gorgeous and beautiful, unapologetically feminine. But I love that space. But that's when I was doing in-person workshops and then COVID hit.
Right. So now you, how do you do a vision board workshop with people on Zoom? Do you tell them to go get a bunch of magazines to prepare?
Well, that's how I did it up until this past fall, but something else that's manifested for me. And for those that can see me here on the live, you can see I'm holding up a magazine. So I created my own magazine. So I know my bio says 1,000 clients. I've worked with thousands. So I've taken the most prominent images that my clients have, I've observed them putting on their vision board, and I've compiled them into a single magazine. So as I said, I was just traveling into the United States, and you know, literally it can be done with 12 magazines instead of having, like I used to have to take around in my husband's pickup truck, like hundreds of magazines. So that's definitely made the process that much easier. So yes, online I can, and I do, and I ship the magazine to my client and then they get a few extras as well. But that's how we do it. And we work over a series of 3 weeks together, and they create a really powerful vision board that they can use every day.
So what are some of the tips to make a vision board work? I know we're very similar, and I teach that there's 7 pillars of abundance. You mentioned before we hit record that there's 7 areas of life that you like to hit on your vision board. Tell us what makes the Dare to Declare vision board so unique, and what is the science behind it? I know that's part 2 of the question, but first let's talk about what makes it unique and special.
Okay, there's a lot of things that make it unique and special, but I just want to first just pause for a minute, because I did my homework. I checked your 7 pillars, and with the exception of 1, all of them match up with the 7 life areas. So the spirituality, I encourage people to put spirituality on their board. You've got fitness. I encourage personal vision. So the only one I don't have is emotions. I kind of have that more wrapped up again, also in the personal, but I do also have professional. So people create a professional vision. You have romance. I have relationships, mental, I have education, social, yeah. I have leisure, and then financial. So it really, like you said, we're very much aligned.
Yes. We're 2 peas in a pod. I love it.
So what I would say is for some people, they create, I think the most fundamental difference is most people create a goal board unknowingly. And in fact, they interchange the word goal and vision. Okay. And so this is really clearly distinguished as a vision board. And what I mean by that is, and I remember having a client say to me, Deb, this is not realistic at all. She's very academic. And I said, now you're talking, because if it's realistic, you're actually creating a goal, which is something that is more in the doing. A vision is bigger. And it's like, I'm a Christian, so I'm just going to speak in that term, but it's like an act of God. Like, it's like, how did this happen? So you want to put a vision on there that you don't actually have the direct line, that you don't know exactly. You can't just check it off or put the gold star on there. That is going to require divine intervention for that to happen. That's what makes this process really frightening. Because our ego resists that. We want to get the gold star. We want to know and control how it's going to happen. So to put things on a vision board, and I encourage you to have a timeline like 5 to 10 years out. So it depends on what age I'm working with. Like, I've worked with children as young as like 11 and 13 up to, you know, I worked with one woman, she was in her 70s. So, you know, thinking about that timeline, you're going to accelerate it by putting that vision out there. So I think that's probably one of the biggest distinguishers, is that it would be a vision versus a goal board. I'm also a big proponent of paper, which is why, again, I created my own magazine. Some people are like, oh, I have an app, or I just do it digitally. But 2 reasons that come to mind. One would be that you're promoting the law of attraction by already allowing the images to reveal themselves in the paper. Instead of simply Googling an outcome.
I like that, because I really, when I do vision boards, I really love the process of like finding the images, because it's like I get to go shopping. Like, with the universe or God or whatever you want to call spirit holding my hand. It's like, ooh, let's go see what we can manifest. So I think that is one of the most delightful parts of making a vision board is the hunting and the finding of the images that resonate with my heart. And you're right, that is so beautiful. And to speak into another point, it's not how you're going to get the goal. That is up to the universe and that will be revealed. It's why. Like, what is your why? What is your mission? What are you motivated to do? Like, not motivated, but why are you motivated? Because they say, if you have a why that is so powerful, that you will figure out the how. You will absolutely, and it will be revealed. People will show up. People will magnetize like we were magnetized through the law of attraction. So it's not how, it's why. And they say your why should be so deep that it makes you cry. So if you're listening to this on Instagram or Facebook or on the podcast platforms and you don't have a why that makes you cry, then that is something that you really want to look into, because that is behind everything. Wouldn't you say it's the driver of manifestation is having a really powerful why.
100%. I would agree. And so the vision boards can be used in various ways. I use it with my one-on-one clients as well. And we always begin, as you said, even before we do anything with the visioning, we start with purpose and the why. So just to give an extra tip to add on to that, I don't know how you walk your clients through, but what I do is I go seven deep. And the first question I ask is, because most of my clients are coaches, entrepreneurs. And so I ask them, why is it important for you to be successful?
That's a great question.
And then after that, whatever their answer is, so for anyone listening or watching, maybe have someone that you trust that could do this with you. And certainly if you have a coach, you could ask them to walk through this with you and have them ask you that question, have them write down your answer, and then repeat back your answer, or to take out succinctly whatever your answer was, and then ask, now, why is that important?
Mm-hmm.
Keep digging until you get to that seven layers deep. And as you said, if you're not crying by that seven layers, you haven't gone deep enough, or you've just kind of masqueraded around this exercise. But I think most often when I'm working with my clients, we get to that seven layer and it's like the purpose is revealed. And you're right. And when you get to that bare bone place, which is really the foundation that you can then build this vision and this life on, it's so beautiful.
That is so beautiful. So tell us a story of someone who overcame all odds to create what she had put on her vision board.
Sure. I love to tell this story because it's actually in my workshop, and her name is Rosemary. And I met Rosemary because, as I said, my background is in early years. And so I had proposed to the agency that she was working for to do some public speaking within the early years community. And instead of them giving an answer, I think they sent her to kind of test me out. So she came to my studio to do a vision board workshop. And I serve lunch. It's a full day experience. So again, this is another thing that makes Dare Declare Vision Board unique, in that it's not just a one and done 2 hour kind of wham bam kind of thing. It is like a 6 hour, 7 hour process, full day process. So included in that is lunch. And over lunch, I heard her say a couple of things. One is that she really enjoys going to farmers markets on the weekends and selling her grandmother's preserves. And if she could, she'd open a store. Okay. Just really quick, kind of passing with that comment. And the second thing was that she was saying that her daughter and her had some strife and weren't speaking anymore, or there was just some problems there, and she really would love to have that relationship repaired. So as she was almost finished her board, I said, Rosemary, where's your store? She said, what store? And I said, well, I was eavesdropping at lunch and I heard that you said you wanted to open a store. And she said, well, it's with canning. Like, doesn't everybody do that? And I'm like, I do not can. In fact, I buy everything from a grocery store. Nope. And you have your grandmother's recipes that you were talking about. I said, so what's your desire? Let's just check in, right? What's your purpose? And she said, I really would. That would be amazing. But this is what happens, is people will talk themselves out of it because it's so scary to think about, what if it does happen? What's my life going to look like? I mean, fear just shows up in so many different ways. I find people are less afraid of failure than they are success, but they're both the same. But it's like, What else happens?
Because people are comfortable in failure. Success is on the skinny branch of the tree. They don't know if they're going to stay there or if it's going to break, and they don't know what it feels like to be, you know, successful, and it's out of their comfort zone. So let's talk about Rosemary's story and what she manifested. But I just thought of my next question of how you coach people through fear of success, but that's next. I'm so excited. There's so many questions coming to mind. I love what you're teaching. So let's go back to Rosemary's story and the candy.
Okay, real quick. So she did put it on her board. She put a picture of an embrace with her and her daughter on the board. Fast forward a year later, the agency hired me. I was speaking in front of 250 educators. And the organizer said, "Can you just give a minute? We just have a special ceremony before you go on." I'm like, "Sure." In walks Rosemary. I said, "What the heck are you doing here?" She goes, "You didn't hear?" "No, I'm retiring. And I get to be here today while you're retired." That's amazing. And then my next question was, "What are you doing?" I opened my store.
Oh.
It's called Country Rose. It's in Windsor, Ontario. She's received numerous awards from the Black community for what she's been doing as an amazing Black woman entrepreneur. She made it through COVID. They did like takeout, and she's just done and been so successful. And the other beautiful thing is that she opened it up with her daughter.
Oh my God. What a beautiful story.
She almost stepped over it. And this is where, you know, leading to your next question about success. Yeah.
How do you coach women through their fear of success? And like I know, because sometimes I don't want to have such a big goal, because then I'll feel worse if I say I want something or a vision, not a goal. If I have a vision, if I put it on a board, or if I verbalize it and like, oh my God, what if I put it out there and I don't achieve it? Then I'll feel even worse than if I never have put it on a board or verbalize it. So how would you help a woman with that kind of fear of going bigger, or fear of success?
A couple of things. I mean, it's really based on the individual, but we want to check in to see what is the limiting belief, or what's the paradigm that's the story, the lies that they're holding on to. And for many women that I've discovered is that it's an either or. I can either serve my family, or I can open a business, or like one, it's like an either or. And, you know, what I love to coach women through is that you can have it all.
Yes. I love it. You can switch your either or to a both and.
You got it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's about uncovering where that fear is coming from around the success. Taking it out, taking a look at it, not judging, but really acknowledging, allowing, and looking at it from all angles and saying, you know, let's pull the thread, see where that's coming from. What is it that's really holding you back? And you have a choice. Do you want to have that still hold you back? Or do you want to have the desire for what it is that you want for your life? Is that going to be stronger than the story you've been hanging on to? Are you ready to release that story and open yourself up to what's possible? And the vision board really helps with that, because it does give some structure in that you're going to put images that represent what it is that you want for your best life. So going back to why it's successful as well, is that I encourage people to have a full, all seven areas on their board. Now, some people, especially if they've been in trauma, can maybe choose two out of the seven to start with. And then as they do subsequent boards, they can add more. But I am not a big proponent of just focusing on business, because how we do something somewhere is how we do it everywhere. Yes, so we want that energy to flow and permeate all areas and bringing all of that into play. Yeah.
I totally agree. Now, we've made the vision board. We have the seven areas of life. We have images that are stretching us beyond our wildest dreams. So how do we now work with the vision board to manifest our dreams? Do we stare at it for 5 minutes a day? Do we meditate on it? Like, how do we actually work with it to create?
Yes and yes. And so it's as often as you can look at it, the better, whether you want to make it your screensaver, if you want to take a photocopy of it and post it, you know, above your office. But the best time of day to view your vision board is right before you go to sleep. You've got those, you know, beta brain waves going on as well. Theta.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sorry for anyone that's watching, staring at the screen, like it's this, I apologize, but those dreamlike brain waves that really invite, that imagination, because have you ever had it where you read a scary book or you watch a scary movie? And I mean, that's what's playing over in your mind and your dreams. So invite in your vision so that your subconscious mind can play it over and just help you discover solutions, opportunities that you didn't see before. So that's the best time. Also when you wake up. So I highly encourage you to place it in a spot where you see it regularly. So it becomes part of your daily habit. So whether it be on the back of your toilet, whether it be in your closet, I do recommend that you not have it in a public space because it's a very intimate experience. And so you need to bubble wrap it with your energy. It doesn't, like, it's not, it, and it shouldn't be available for anyone to criticize. So if you feel there's going to be any judgment, you know, anyone's going to, you have to answer for your choices. They don't deserve to see it. So I would really, yeah, keep it in that protective bubble because it's a tool for you to use every day. Then the other piece that I would say is now you have the vision. So we didn't really even talk about these three words, but most people think about vision board as have, do, and be. You've probably heard that before. What do I want to have? What do I need to do to have the stuff? And then I'm going to be happy. It's like waiting right for the weekend, so to speak. Well, we take it and flip it on its head here at Dare to Declare. It starts with the being. Who do I get to be? So another quick tip, you want to put a photo of yourself on the board. So that's another aside. But it starts with the being. So you've created the vision board with the being, but then the doing, those are where the goals come into play. So as I said earlier, vision board is not a goal board. It's a vision board and then the place for goals. So you're going to take maybe one or two of the visions and drill down and create action towards the vision. And those are your goals. And it's a beautiful process because as you start to accomplish those goals, you're going to step into the essence, the feeling of that vision. And what I've discovered is that when you're open to receive, it's like the vision comes in like a whisper. Yeah. It's like all of a sudden you look around and go, oh my word, this is my life. And that vision
has been there. It's not like getting hit by a tidal wave. Like things slowly just start to like show up in your life.
On occasion, there are big surprises. Like I believe that God loves to surprise us. Like, just like we love to surprise our, you know, if you've got children, I love to surprise my children. So I do believe that there are surprises, but most often, as you said, it comes in more as a whisper. And then the other piece that has a place in it with the goal setting is affirmations.
Yes. I'm a huge proponent of affirmations. So how do affirmations work with the vision board?
So the affirmations would be part of the goal setting. So taking a piece off and creating a goal. So if it's financial, so a goal would be like a SMART goal. So you've got, you know, it's measurable. I don't know all the acronym, but it's right. It's drilled down. And that you can, so would you like me to tell you what my affirmation is?
Sure. We'd love to hear it.
Okay. So this is a big stretch. And, anyways, okay, this is it. I earn 100K every month. Our clients and team are getting phenomenal results from my world-class service and sales ability. I'm honest, direct, and loving in all my communication, and I operate in opulent supply. It is done, and I love it.
And so it is. Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That is absolutely beautiful. So let's talk about gratitude. How does gratitude play into manifesting through vision boards?
I think most people don't put the two together. From my experience, and again, I think that has to do more with starting off with a having, which is more the getting, and that doesn't feel like a spirit of gratitude. But when you're in the state of being, you're going to wake up in a spirit of gratitude. So as I talked about earlier, a big influence in my life has been Jack Canfield. And he gives these three words: ask, believe, and receive. So ask for what you want, believe that it's possible, and be open to receive. And I think about gratitude as being, in terms of a vision board, being radical, and that most people think of it at the end of a transaction. So if you think about a child, we give them something, a cookie, and we say, what do you say? And they say, thank you. But what if you started your day off with gratitude, not for yesterday, but for today that is to happen? So I am grateful for today. I'm grateful for what is to come. And I believe that everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. That is true belief. That's asking for and being in a state of expectation, but believing that everything that's going to happen is exactly the way it's supposed to be, and you're open to receive. So it's like this full energy of being grateful. And that's how I see a vision board, is that it's my responsibility. So Jack talks about those two words, gratitude and responsibility. And it's my responsibility to live fully into this life that we've been given, not to be laxy-daisy, not to just be, you know, like just sort of floating through, but that I get intentional, that I'm ambitious, that I'm obsessed with my vision and my goals, because that demonstrates gratitude to the person, to the creator who gave it to me.
Exactly. Because having a human incarnation is so precious, and we're only here in the scheme of things for not very long, and we don't want to just throw it away. And I think that is so beautiful. So I know that Jack Canfield has been one of your biggest inspirations and mentors. What are, you know, if you could narrow it down to one or two things, what are your one or two biggest takeaways from working with him?
Well, he is so kind and generous. I got to meet him in person in November 2021. I flew to his Santa Barbara home. And even though he definitely has celebrity status, he made me feel like I was the most important person in the room. And I think that is so genuine and authentic. So I think that was one of my takeaways, was his way of being. And so I have a secret crush on him, because I think he's so...
Hopefully your husband doesn't listen to your podcast.
My husband is well aware.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I would say his way of being. And then the other thing would be, he gave me some advice when we parted ways last time, was to join or create a mastermind. So that is something that I sought out, and I have created within my academy. I now within my academy have monthly masterminds with my graduates, which has been amazing, in that for a coaching program, from my experience, typically when you're done and you've finished your investment, you kind of fade away. Whereas my community is growing. They have stayed connected because there is complementary, like every month they can still plug in and come to the free mastermind. So that has been really phenomenal, that I have this loyal, beautiful, growing community that is the legacy. It's so amazing. And the other is, I am now in a coaching program myself. I've invested in a coaching program. And every morning for half an hour, we read and study together. And that has increased my energy fivefold for sure, as well, my intellect and just my conversations are that much more rich. And, you know, Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich, you know, when two minds come together, they create a third. And so it's just really sage advice that he gave. And I'll give that back to anyone listening here.
What is the book that you all are studying?
A variety. The one that we've been studying is called The Magic Word by Earl Nightingale.
Neat.
Yeah. And then today we read an excerpt from James Allen called Thought and Character. And some of these readings are, they're almost like, you know, the Bible's like the King James version, like the old English. It's kind of like that, like our Shakespearean language. You kind of have to, you know, read through some of the old language, but the truths are so incredible.
That's incredible. Before we end this interview, I would love for you to tell my listeners, we've told them how to do a vision board correctly. Would you enlighten us about any definite don'ts, like definitely don't do this for your vision board?
So there is no wrong way. Okay. Right. I'll say that because you could even write it on a piece of paper, and research shows that 42%, you're 42% more likely to manifest simply by writing it down. So yeah, it goes up by 78% when you add images. So, I mean, I've heard remarkable stories, but they can take 10 to 20 years. Like, who wants to wait that long? So right, if you want to accelerate your results, then what I would say is don't put an image of money on your board. Yeah. I think that's one of the common mistakes I see.
Yeah.
Because that's confusing to the universe. Money is the conduit. It's like, you're not just going to decorate your house with stacks of coins and money.
Right. Like,
it's the how. Remember you talked earlier?
Yeah.
The vision is the why. So you want to put what the money is going to provide versus just a picture of money. It doesn't mean anything. I had a couple of girls and they're like, Deb, we have this check for $30 million on our staff and board and it hasn't come to fruition. And I'm like, well, what do you want $30 million for? And they said, we don't know. I said, well, that's why it hasn't manifested. Let's back the train up. What do you want? Oh, I want to pay off my mortgage. That's what you put on the check because you know that feeling, and it's the feeling which produces the energy within your body that's going to, again, promote that law of attraction. Whereas, you know, money doesn't produce necessarily that same emotional connection as the image of what that money is going to provide. Yeah.
So don't put money on your board. Are there any things that we shouldn't do for a vision board to manifest?
The other thing I would say is, and it's very, you can tell a Dare to Declare vision board compared to almost anyone else in the world, is I don't encourage collage. So some people actually call vision boards collages. Now, that's something you did in high school. I don't understand the rationale behind it, because you want to leave space around each of the images, because the whole point of a vision board is focus. So when your eye doesn't have a place to rest in between the images, it becomes disorganized. And we thrive, and so does the universe. If you look, when we as humans stop messing it up, the universe has, the creation has a gorgeous sense of order. And so you want to replicate that on your vision board, that your vision board has a sense of order, that you, yes, it can have lots of variety, but if you think about a book, if it had no margins and no chapters, it would be very challenging to read, because there's a sense of order. Your eye has a place to rest. So that's what I encourage for vision boards as well, is that it be orderly. I also encourage, I'll throw an extra one in there too, that you have a neutral background, whether it be white or black. Most of my clients, I would say 90% of them choose a white vision board so that the images can really be the dominant color and factor. There's another little thing I include in my vision board workshop, that we look at what the dominant color is that you've chosen, because that actually gives an additional clue to the subconscious and what your desire is. It's based on the feng shui philosophy. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Interesting. Now, do you recommend laminating the vision board, framing it? I see there's one in the background of this Zoom call framed, or does it not matter if you frame it?
That's a really good point. I recommend foam core boards. They're very inexpensive from dollar stores if you live in North America. I did find out my European friends don't have access to big box stores, but you could get it on the line. I think framing is lovely because it does give it a sense of presence. And I find almost all my clients, like, it really becomes precious to them. So why not invest a little bit more, buy a frame? I also encourage the size of it. Like, the one that I recommend is 20 by 30. And so that they're larger, that you're not just creating something small. It really, again, is that sense of expectation. Like, you're declaring to the universe, this is what I want. And so I encourage large images, not any smaller than the palm of your hand. And yeah, you probably want to frame it so that you can, it doesn't just slide under your bed because yeah, it's going to still work, but it's going to take a lot longer than if you have that daily focus that we talked about.
How often should we do vision boards? Should we do it every January? Should we do it once a quarter? Should we do it after a big event like moving or a wedding? How often should we do our vision boards?
I would say at least once a year. I've had a few clients who are very self-aware. One of my coaches that I worked with, and she's just probably like you, like just a manifesting maven. And, you know, she had, I think within 3 weeks, she had manifested her board. Within the last one she did was 6 months. So, you know, when it's manifested, you can certainly go on to the next level. But for most people, I would say a year to 18 months. And don't worry if your board hasn't fully manifested in the way, again, that you thought it might. So we didn't really get into that about the receiving piece, but oftentimes the way it manifests isn't exactly even the way that you thought, because it's bigger and better.
That's interesting. So, if you had a vision, a photo on your board from the prior year that doesn't manifest and you're looking to create a new board, is it okay to repeat the same image, different version, but the same type of image? Like, let's say you wanted to manifest a new house and you hadn't manifested yet. Is it okay to put that on your vision board for a few years until you manifest it?
Absolutely. I wouldn't take the image off. I would leave the board intact and just like leave it somewhere where, again, you can, like, you can see behind me. My other one is still right there. That's from 2022. The one behind me is 2023. So I've kept all of my boards. Leave it. And then if you want to replicate it, but dig in to say, is this something that I'm just saying that I want or that I should want, or that, you know, just because I've always said it, is it because now I'm embarrassed that I said I always wanted it? Like, just check in. Is it what I really still want? So we dig in deep in the beginning end. That's why it takes 6 hours. It's one of the exercises. What do you want? Because sometimes we just get stuck in our head and we need to drop into our heart to discover what it is that I really want. Just like Rosemary, right? So she was putting all this other stuff on there, but what she really wanted was to sell her grandmother's preserves out of a little store. But it took a while to uncover that and for her to actually not be afraid and to put that out there.
I think that's great, because sometimes, especially for women, we want what society tells us we should want. Like, not all women want marriage and kids, but that's what society has told us we should want since we're a little girl. So if a woman is putting, you know, marriage and kids on a vision board year in and year out and it doesn't manifest, maybe that's not her true heart's desire. You know, maybe her dream is to be like a digital nomad and travel the world and work from her laptop. Like, I think that is a really good point.
For sure. And on the other side, for a woman that does want to have children and is having difficulty conceiving, absolutely, you know, you can put that on there. And I've seen it happen. I actually saw it with my own daughter. So I have twin daughters. And one had a baby and the other didn't. And of course, I don't know if you know this, but with twins, right? Everybody compares and they say,
"Oh, yeah, my mom's a twin. Believe me, I know."
Right? And they're like, "Oh, when are you going to have one?" And it was just so hurtful, but people didn't mean to hurt her. But, you know, but anyways, yeah, she put the baby on her vision board. And now actually he was just here visiting this morning. His name is Billy. He just turned one.
But that is sweet.
I would also know that, as I said, things can manifest in a different way. So I would suggest putting motherhood on the board, and you never know how that's actually going to manifest in your life.
Yes, you could be a mother to a baby or a pet or a godmother. Like, you don't know. You could be the mother of a community. I think that that's beautiful. Just put on your board and then just be open-minded to have how you receive it and how the universe actually delivers. Well, Debbie, this has been such a fascinating conversation, and I love what you do and how you empower women through vision boards and just everything that you teach. How can we stay in touch with you?
Sure. So my website's probably the easiest. It's my name, debbiesluice.com, or you can go to dare2declare.com. Both lead you to the same place. And the social media platforms are all on there. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and so forth. So just the portal through there, be easy to find me.
And then you have a special, right? The $39 vision board guide. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the magazine I was talking to you about earlier, this is for $38, you get the magazine shipped to you. So in North America, Canada, and the US, shipping's included in that $38. and you receive an evergreen course that's 2.5 hours of content. It's me. It was professionally shot in my studio. I'm working with 5 of my closest girlfriends. It was awesome. They did a vision board. So it's like you're right just in with the conversations, right in learning with them, and it will guide you all the way through. So you'll just get your magazine. All you have to do is purchase your foam core board, scissors, glue stick, and you're off to the races. And you can do it at your own pace within your own home.
That is so wonderful. Well, everyone, you have been listening to another wonderful episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We really appreciate it if you could take 60 seconds out of your really busy day and just leave a 5-star review on Spotify or a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening to this on any platform, I would just love it if you could take a screenshot and tag me or Debbie. We're happy to reshare. Thank you so much, everyone. We will be back next week with another wonderful episode. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and your hands clean. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. Please rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. If you or someone you know feels stuck and needs more abundance and balance in their life, please go to my link tree in the show notes to schedule your complimentary breakthrough call. I look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you on the next podcast episode.